2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17. Let's stand together in the honor of reading God's word together this morning and tie this in. This message ties in with what God is doing in our church and in the camp the last 2 weeks, what I believe will happen also this week as well. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, who was his son in the faith. Paul was his father in the faith, and he discipled Timothy, and he kind of gives him some warnings and know what's going on, what's going to happen, but then he admonishes him, beginning in verse 14. He says this, "But continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, mature, whole, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." I want us to bow for prayer as we come this morning. Father, in this place, we want you to have the glory and the honor for everything, and we thank you today for your word, which gives us instruction, which teaches us the truth, which shows us the way, which reveals to us who you are. And Father, both in word and now in testimony we've heard today, but we ask, Father, that now through your word again, that we come to a stronger understanding and a higher faith, Lord, in who you are. And what you are and what you are doing. And so we just ask that you bless the reading of your word this morning and bless the rest of this service and especially the invitation time. And we do ask it in his name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read the same passage of scripture just very quickly in the New American Standard because it sheds a little bit more light on it. It says, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Verse 15, "And that from a child, from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Last week, you'll remember, we talked about making a difference. The week before that, we looked at, because of Memorial Day, we looked at remembering. Remembering is a major idea, a major theme, a major instruction from God Himself. Because it's when people forget who God is and what God has done for them that we fall into sin. We've heard the testimonies of some of the young people and how went at camp this past week, and that's what happens. People become satisfied with where they're at in life, with what they have in this world and this life, and it's then that we forget God, and it's easy to fall into times and periods of times in our life where we are not as passionate about God as we ought to be and as we also once were. And so last week we looked at what making a difference. We looked at in Romans chapter 16 and verses 17 through 20 there. But the main idea and the main thought of that, of last week's time together in the Word of God, was that one generation must embrace the next generation. In other words, we need to embrace the things of God in every generation, but we must especially reach the next generation with the truth of God. And we've got to do it in a way that it is real and that it is genuine. And I liked with the one young person, I forget exactly who that was at the beginning, he says, you know, learned what truth was. And one of the ideas there, God is truth, yes, but beyond as much as that and what all that involves is that what is really real is what is truth. God is the only one. He's the one who's really real. And God is real. And God is truth. But for you and me to think about the things of God and to walk in this world and to live in this life, we walk according to the truth. We walk according to what is real. And the world is consumed with lies. The great deceiver Satan in the Garden of Eden tempted Eve with lies. She fell to that. And as a result, Lucifer, who had fallen himself, had become a murderer and a deceiver, a liar. Because he brought the lie to Eve, she bought it, she gave it to Adam, and he took it, and they together bought the lie and fell away from God in disobedience and all of that. And so as a result, Satan is a murderer because he brought death to the human race. And he's a liar and is a deceiver, and the world today is full of lies. And I think about the issues that in the testimonies over here and some that were are confidential, that can't be shared just openly and publicly. But why do young people, why do any of us, but why especially do young people come to a place where they have these very serious and deep issues in their life? It's because of the world's lies. And we believe the lies of the world before we believe the truth of God. And so the key is, young people, I love the way it was spoken to you and the way you've repeated it, which means that it had meant something to you. Don't go out of the house every day before you've had time with God. Because God is the truth, and He is the one who will sustain each and every one of us. And so we need to come to God in times of prayer, real prayer, not just asking God for things, but real prayer and in His Word. We need to spend those times with Him. And so it is that one generation embraces God, embraces the truth with all the heart, and then that generation embraces the next generation that is coming up to embrace them with the truth, lest we become like the judges in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, in the book of Judges there, where there was a whole generation of people who had grown up and had not known Joshua, had not known Moses, had not known the fathers that were there that experienced those things out there in the wilderness. But all those had died off and died away. And another generation grew up, and those were only some told stories or memories that they had that were there. But the truth of God must be embraced by every generation. And that is the goal of this generation to the next generation, is to see that the truth is embraced so that hearts and lives can truly be transformed and made by the power of God. What we saw also last week, because of the making a difference, that we need to mark those out. That's what Paul said in the book of Romans there. Mark those out who do not serve Jesus Christ. There are those who out there who name the name of Christ and proclaim to be preachers and teachers and such, but they serve their own appetites. That's what Paul said. They serve their own appetites, but Paul said to mark them out and to shun them, to avoid them. Do not embrace them in any way, because their ministries and their works all contain lies and lead. They may be sincere. Does it make any difference? They may be sincere, but it must be according to the truth. And so Paul also admonishes Timothy here in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. He admonishes Timothy in these two epistles to look out for false teachers, to look out for those who would distract you from the way that you have been instructed in the way of the truth. And he admonished him to embrace the Scriptures, to come and grab a hold of the Scriptures and make them your whole heart and make them your whole life. And that's what I would admonish all of us in this place to do today. Not just young people, because God so powerfully worked in your lives. You know what you've got to face now? You've got to face tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's the old grind. Is it not? That's what happens to adult people when they go to retreats. Get all spiritual, get moved by God, and the things are wonderful that are there, but then we come back to the life that we were in before we went to the retreat, before we went to camp, and we've got to either remain hot for the Lord or we're going to cool off again and settle back into those old ways. And so there is one way, though, that binds us together, and that's what Paul says here today. And I'm just going to kind of give a brief synopsis of this, and then we'll come and look at it actually for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And that is the Bible. I want us to focus in on the Bible, the Word of God. It's the truth. The Bible is the truth. And so I want us to take these thoughts of the doctrine of Scripture, that is the Bible, and ask ourselves this question: what do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe that the Bible is? Is it just a good book? Is it God's book? And what does that mean? If it's God's book and it is God's book, what does it mean for you to have a Bible, a copy of the Word of God in your own hand, in your own possession? And what does it mean for you to open it up and to read and to look at it? What do you believe the Bible, the Word of God, should do for you? What do you believe you should do for God according to His Word? All of it is found here, and we find the beginning of this here in Paul's epistle to Timothy in the second epistle here. And it is the foundation of Scripture is the truth. And we've talked a lot about the truth, and I'll never get tired of talking about the truth because the truth is being attacked at all times and always. So the foundation of Scripture is the truth. So look with me at these Scriptures just very quickly. You can look at them on the screen, or you may try to turn with them there in your Bible if you can, and keep up if you will. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul said, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing," what? The word of what? Truth. It is the word of truth. Showing yourself approved unto God, a workman, a servant of God, who will never be ashamed, who will never be discouraged, who will never be let down. You'll never come to the end of your life and say, "Oh, I wished I hadn't believed all that Bible stuff, all that God stuff, all that church stuff, and all that Christian stuff." I wish you'll never come to that place and point in your life, because God is real. And His Word is His Word. And that's why it's important to understand and to know that the Bible is God's Word as He gave it. Look with me at John chapter 17, verse 17. The prayer, the priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, before He went to the cross, He prayed for His disciples and He prayed for all those who would hear of Him beyond His life and His death and His resurrection and His ascension back into heaven. So Jesus said, in John chapter 17, verse 17, as He was praying to His Father, He said, "Father, sanctify them through Your truth." And then He makes this statement, "Your word is truth." Truth is the most important thing to be embraced by every generation. There's a lot of everything, but it's got to be according to the truth. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." It is given by the inspiration of God. It is given by the power of God in everything. It literally means it is God-breathed. And in the literal phrasing there, it says, all writing, God-breathed. That's how it puts it in the original here. All writing, all the writings of God, God breathed. And there's a whole scenario there. We won't take time to examine that this morning, but it'll be very important for us to learn and to see and to hear about that. Now in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, Peter says, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of," and this is in the New American Standard, by the way, "but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Because no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God." You see, the foundation of the Bible, the foundation of our faith is the Bible. And the foundation of the Bible is truth. It's God. It's God-breathed. All of the Word of God, all of the Old Testament, New Testament. We're not just living in New Testament times, so the Old Testament is just out there if you want to. No. It's all part of the big picture, all a part of the great whole of what God wants to do. And there's three terms I want to share with you, then I'll share just one appeal, and then we'll close this morning. There are three terms that you and I need to think about when we think about the Bible, when we think about the truth, when we think about God, when we think about our personal hearts and lives having received Christ. The phrase I kind of still get kind of amused at, it says, "Well, we want people to get saved," or "I got saved." It's like I went to the store and I got something. It's kind of not like that, but I understand. I'm not chewing on that. I'm not criticizing that. But it's receiving Christ, because that's how you know it's real. Have you received Christ since you believed the truth? If what you heard was the truth and you believed it and you got with God, whether it was in a crowd or was by yourself, and you called upon God in the name of Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your sins, and asking God to forgive you of your sins, God is always God is always sure to give you the forgiveness of your sins. God will always hear if your heart has been prepared. And so there's three things that we need to think about as we look at this. And we'll come back and do it in greater detail here in the next week or two. There are three words. The first word is revelation. Revelation is the body of truth that God wants you and I to know about. It's all the way from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 through the end of Revelation chapter 22. It is what God has set forth that He wants to communicate to you and to me. And if you have received Christ, if you know Him, if you were convinced and convicted about the things and the burdens in your heart and in your life, it's because God, through His Word, through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, spoke to your heart and moved you, maybe brought turmoil to you, maybe brought the crises of life to you. But whatever it was, God dealt with you for who you are, where you are at in life, and God promises the gift of eternal life. He promises the forgiveness of sins, but He also promises the gift of the Spirit of God. And so if you have received Christ, you received Him by the Spirit of God coming and indwelling you and coming into your heart and into your life. And so that is the revelation of God. The special revelation of God is the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the truth of God. General revelation is what we look out into the universe and out into the world, out into the earth, and what we see God's hand doing everywhere. That is general revelation. God has made Himself known by the things that He's done. That's how we know that He's there. People choose to ignore it. They can just be ignorant. They're willingly ignorant if they do that. And so there's revelation. The second word is that of inspiration. And that is the method that God used to communicate truth to His people, to reveal Himself to all people. And that is the work of the Spirit of God. It is the work of the Spirit of God to breathe, as we saw here in the Scriptures, God breathed every word. And we'll come back and look at that later. But then the third word is that of illumination. How are you and I going to understand the Bible? How are you going to understand it, young people? How are you going to understand it, parents, grandparents? How are we to understand the Word of God? There's only one way, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we ignore God, when we live our lives in sin, or when we neglect the things, the spiritual things that ought to be in our lives, we don't feel close to God anymore. And when we don't feel close to God, we can read the Bible, read the Word of God, and it doesn't stir us. It doesn't move us like it ought to. You see, we must come to God and keep our relationship with Him right at all times. And when we do, the Spirit of God is in us to do that and to reveal to us and to give light, to shed light upon our hearts and our lives. So the Bible is true because it is breathed out from God. And it's not the result of the will of man, as we've read. And it's not superficial, but it is the real revelation of God to Himself. And I'm thankful. I want to acknowledge that this morning. God revealed Himself at camp this past week and the week before. And my prayer is that He reveals Himself this week in the ministry that comes and comes through here. So I want to close with this challenge, and then we'll close this morning because it's very important. So here is the heart of all the matter. That is that when God spoke, things happened. Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and everything came into existence. God had a purpose and a will. God's purpose and will was not thwarted in the Garden of Eden. God was not overcome. His will was not canceled out because Satan came and did what he did to the human race. The lies are there. The lies of the world are there. The lies of the flesh are there. You know, our bodies, we want to do certain things. And we do things that oppose God and His will for our lives. But God wants you and me to continually come back to Him. And the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Satan has his lies. And I pray that that's what the work of the ministry of this church goes toward, is to revealing the truth so that the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil will truly be overcome. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes as we come this morning to this time of invitation. Because I know that in this place, the message has been preached more than once. I didn't bring the message. God brought the message, and He brought it through the people who served Him this week. He brought it partially through what we've read here this morning. But you know, I've learned a long time ago that God is always the one who writes. He always writes the last chapter on every crisis, every event. God writes the last chapters when we trust Him. And the thought this morning is that the truth of God, the Word of God, the Bible, who reveals God to us, and when we trust Him, when we trust God through His Word, not through some phrase that somebody repeats in church, but when we trust God, really trust God through the Bible, through His Word, God is powerful to work and to move. God has worked in lives. And God has brought His message to us this morning. The message is that we need to come and trust God in every area of our life. Every area. If you're here today in this place, you just maybe just need to come get right with God. You don't have to talk to me or anyone else unless you want to. I'll be down here at the front. You can come do that if you want to. But the altar is here. Come to the altar. Get on your face before God. Embrace the truth. Embrace Christ, who is the truth. Embrace God, who gives all things. Embrace the Christ life. Come to God and confess your weakness and your failure to Him. And say, cry out to God and cry out to Him and ask Him to come and to overcome the things in your world and your life that are going to begin either this afternoon or tomorrow morning when you get back to life as normal. Ask God to help you to reject and to refuse and to overcome those things that drew you away from God in the first place. You're here this morning, there are several that have received Christ or were moved by God, and it's my understanding that you want to come together as a group, and in the moment when we stand, I want you to do that. Just come quickly. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Just come. Come to the glory of God, to the honoring of Christ as His work in your heart and in your life, and ready to keep your commitment to Him by making your profession public. And come this morning by a public attitude and a public presentation that God might receive the glory for everything He's done in you and your heart and your life.